Hello, everyone, and welcome to NWR Connectivity episode 360. I'm your host, John Reardon, and joining me today, as usual, is Neil Ronahan.
Hello.
Hello. It's episode Xbox 360. We should have done an Xbox 360 themed.
You know what? Maybe for the thing that we're doing in the back half, maybe we audible and make one of them.
We can add a third one.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
Okay.
We'll take it 360 degrees.
Woo-woo! Just good, right where we were already going. It's a dumb name for a console, let's be honest.
It really is. Like, I forget their, like, marketing bullshit reason for why they called it that.
You just wind up going the same direction you started. You just did a circle.
And I think they didn't want to call it Xbox 2 because it was going to be PlayStation 3. But then it's funny that the one after Xbox 360 was the Xbox One.
Yeah. They should have just, like, power moved and called it the Xbox 4. but we are going to have maybe a slightly shorter episode this week, a calm, chill episode. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Because I don't know about you, Neil, but I have been a little busy and haven't had a ton of time to actually play video games. Though I did play some Xenoblade X last night for no apparent reason.
I mean, you're a good man. I've been thinking about how I should boot up my Wii U and start playing Xenoblade X, but maybe I should finish 3. I'm very close to the end of Xenoblade 3, but I've had some review games that... Oh, you know, Kirby. Working on a Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe review. Spoilers, that game rocks. It's very, very good, and I'm inching closer to finishing Xenoblade 3. Still got Theater Rhythm, kind of always going back to that. And then the Kitty Justice League game will hopefully have a review either by the time you hear this episode or slightly later.
I have a review written, but I'm waiting to post it till closer to launch, but there's no embargo. But I have a review ready for First Squadron, which is a Star Fox-like, and the second animal hair-based squadron-titled game that I am keeping an eye on, which is weird. Got that and Whisker Squadron.
I do. Yeah, that is. First Squadron seems like it came out of nowhere. Like, usually you have tabs on these things.
It's been in development for a long time. I did some research once I saw it, and it's been around for a while. It's already out on, like, iOS and Android.
Ah, okay.
But that barely counts as, like, playing a game because that game is, like, 25 minutes long. So, yeah, there'll be a review for it soon. Solid mechanics, a little short, not going to blow any minds, but it's a cute little game. Anyway, we've got some listener mail, and then we've got a sort of featured topic. I guess it's kind of like a game later.
Yeah, it was, who was the person who wrote in last week? I mean, the all listener mail episode.
Yes.
Vince. Thank you, Vince.
Yes. Good job, Vince.
Yeah.
We're using your mail twice.
But how we were talking last week about GameCube remasters, basically one for each year, with Metroid Prime being the 2002 pick.
Yeah.
Seemed like a fun idea. But let's go to that listener mail.
Yeah. So we've got mail for this week from Chariot Goblin, who says, "Hey, Connectivity, the discussion last episode about GameCube remasters, in combination with the NWR Twitch streaming F-Zero GX, got me thinking about what an F-Zero GX remaster would be like. I have a couple questions. Could they get away with charging $60? And would they adjust the difficulty, and do you think they should? Which studio should be in charge of the remaster? Any other adjustments and features you would like to see added?" And I think they're about done streaming F-Zero GX, but you too could watch us stream games, and it could cause you to send in listener mails by going to twitch.tv/NintendoWorldReport.
After they took, like, 15 years playing Fire Emblem, it's weird that it's just like, oh, they just started, now they're done.
Well, at least Matt beat the story mode, which, like, I feel like we should, like, send him a gift basket. And I think Joe's close. If he didn't beat it, I should go check to see if he actually beat it. I think he's playing it tonight.
That's impressive.
Yeah, so good job, Smashterpiece guys. That's a difficult game, and you seems like you crushed it very quickly. But yeah, so we have several questions. Could they have it be 60? Difficulty? And what studio would do it?
How about we just do the questions one by one? Price depends on how much they add, if they could get away with $60.
I think after Well, okay, it depends on what lessons they take from Metroid, because like Metroid Prime at 40 clearly worked out well for them, but based on how well Metroid Prime seems to be selling, I could also see them going, oh, we didn't need to have sold that for 40. Like, we could have sold that for more. But they have less data for F-Zero than they did for, like, at least with Metroid Prime, they had a successful Metroid game on the system.
I think if it's retail, $40.
Yeah.
And I think people would be really pissed off if it's not physical, if it's digital only.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, digital.
You could
digital
do the same
only.
Thing as Metroid, though. You could do the shadow drop and then the that doesn't seem to have hurt. Like, we got numbers out of the UK, which isn't a good area to base all of your sales data off of. But the sales data we have off the UK put the physical version of Metroid Prime like second only to Hogwarts Legacy for last month.
Yeah.
Which is very
and that would
impressive.
Have only been a couple days of data because it was 22nd, I think.
Yeah, it is selling very well. It's obvious because it's like out of stock everywhere.
I did also see some chatter with Metroid Prime Remastered, and people are like, oh no, is Zelda gonna sell out? It's like this game was revealed and came out physically 2 weeks later. Like,
yeah,
I think it was probably a low print run.
It was a low print run, and I will also say, based on a very small sample size of my personal experience, that depending on the distributor, it may not have gotten to all the stores on time. That's one of the downsides of not telling anybody about your game until 2 weeks before it comes out, is like that gives the distributor very little time to get orders in and then get orders from the companies they distribute to and get everything shipped out. Like, that's kind of a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
So like, I know like that came out on like a Thursday or Friday. And
it was a Wednesday.
Yeah. We still had first shipments arriving like into the next week. Just because, like, sense. Depending on the distributor, they might fall behind or, yeah.
And it's not like you can really have a pre-order debate. Like, with Zelda, like, I mean, I don't really think you necessarily need to pre-order. I say as I have two copies of Zelda pre-ordered. But it's like, if you're going to get it, like, you know, find your place where you get rewards or can get a little bit off or something. I mean, that's what I locked in a $60 price on Best Buy and then wound up getting the collector's edition. That's also because in my house, my wife and I will be playing the game on separate Switches, and I think we're going to take off days of work.
Just
sit near each other and be like, I got to this part, shut up.
Yeah. And what I will say about pre-orders, I know that like it's kind of become the thing of like don't pre-order games, like you don't need to do that. What I will say is if you're planning to get the game physically, like retailers generally base their order numbers off of like you buy enough to cover your pre-orders plus X. And so like the number of pre-orders a retailer has is directly proportional to how many copies of the game they stock. So with Zelda, it's not really a big deal because like, guess what? Everybody's going to stock a whole lot of copies of the sequel to Breath of the Wild. But if you're ever debating on pre-ordering a smaller game, yes, you absolutely should. Cause you get stuff like, I remember Neo when that came out on PS4, nobody pre-ordered it. Because nobody cared. Retailers would stock like two copies and then it was sold out everywhere for like weeks because nobody was ready for it to do well. So if you do care about a smaller game, definitely pre-order it. Probably not a big deal with Zelda, but just throwing that out there.
Zelda, you'll be able to find.
Places will stock Zelda, yes.
Yeah.
And like Zelda, once again, we know in advance that it's coming. Those orders have been in for a while now.
People might have pre-orders for that game from 2019.
I do. Yeah, I pre-ordered that the day it got announced.
So I honestly don't think they can get it. Depends on the scope of the remaster, but in a post Metroid Prime remastered world, like F-Zero
they've
GX,
set a bar.
as much as I think that F-Zero GX is a game that is worth a lot more than a lot of people would assign it, it is at face value a racing game with like 10 mission story mode, some Grand Prix. Like it's not that substantial of a game from a certain point of view, but I think $40 retail is probably what you do with that.
Do you think that Metroid Prime has kind of set a problematic precedent for them as far as like quality and price goes?
Yes.
Because like after Metroid Prime, like, can you do Skyward Sword HD again? Can you do like the Mario All-Stars? Can. Like you can, but
it's Mario and Zelda. That's why.
Yeah.
F-Zero is neither of those things. F-Zero has to be $40.
Yeah, F-Zero for sure. I just, when you have that disparity of, like, okay, if you have Twilight Princess HD, if you put that out on Switch for $60, can you do that after you put out Metroid Prime Remastered for $40, given that, like, Metroid Prime Remastered is a borderline remake and Twilight Princess is a texture update?
I'm kind of at the point, and I think I saw... I think it was in, it was probably in the NWR Discord. Join that. Talk to us. But I think someone made the comment about how, like, I kind of hope that Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD, like, are ported to the next console so that way it's a, like, a bigger, you know, like, visual lift from what they were on Wii U the Switch 2. And yeah. I think now, if Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are going to come to Switch, like, I think if they are, it'll probably be I'm really, really going to be fascinated what the Zelda games come out in the years after Tears of the Kingdom. But, like, let's just say, for the sake of argument, you know, 2024, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess come to Switch, I think it might be $60 for both of them in the same thing.
And I think you could get away with that.
I honestly think that's a very good deal. But yeah, I think if they are, we took the Wii U versions and made them work on Switch, then $60 for the two of them is probably realistic and I think a good value overall.
Yeah, selling $60 individually, I don't think they could do, because, like,
it'll probably be, maybe it'll be $70, because combined they'll be more than
that's true
16 gigs.
Would they?
I don't know.
I'm gonna look up how big those games are. Yeah, look
at the game size for. They probably aren't, but they might be. And if they add, like, those assets on Switch, could be a little bit bigger. So while you're looking for that, we got breaking news that is the funniest thing in the world. So Inticreates, who they, back in the day, they made, like, Mega Man 9, but they also did, like, the Bloodstained, the 2D ones, Dragon Mark for Death, Blaster Master Zero, a lot of retro stuff. They had a game that came out the other week that kind of looked like their 2D Castlevania games, but it's their own IP, that at launch was called Grim Guardian's Demon Purge. Jordan Rudek reviewed it. Seemed pretty cool. It's on my wish list. They changed the name of the game to Gal Guardian's Demon Purge.
Do we need to change our review?
Jordan mentioned in staff Slack that he's probably going to change the name of his review.
Huh. All right. Well, fine. I did see a comment that somebody mentioned that it was a spinoff of Galgun.
Yeah.
And I watched the review and I'm like, was it?
So maybe it's also did do Galgun, for what it's worth. It's just Gal Guardians from Grim Guardians. did you find the file size?
Yeah, they are not big. Wind Waker is like 2 gigs and Twilight Princess is like 4.5.
Okay, yeah, so probably be so a what's like
the
game.
Yeah, that what's the smallest, what are the sizes of Switch games?
I think 16 is the reasonable cutoff. Like I think anything that is holding more than 16 gigs of data as a download on Switch,
they could
They
could do an 8 gig card,
yeah,
and fit both of those games on them.
Well, as far as I know, with Switch, is that the cards up to 16 gig are, like, you know, I think if you have like a 1 gig card, it's going to be a savings, but it's not that absurd. It is the 32 gig cards are like dramatically more expensive.
Okay,
which. It is the thing that, like, I'm not necessarily here being like, let's have game prices raise up, but, like, Zelda at 70 is fine.
Yeah, that's like, totally fine.
But F-Zero, as we've gotten to one part of this question, almost 20 minutes into the episode, would they adjust the difficulty, and do you think they should?
I think they could add difficulty modes.
Yeah, that's my thing. They're pretty good in these remasters and remakes of. I'm surprised they didn't add any difficulty modes in Metroid Prime.
I'm trying to remember because it's been a while since I played it. Was the hard mode in the GameCube version?
It might have been added in the Wii one, Or it might have been like you had to beat the game on normal and then you unlocked hard mode. And then the Wii one, I think it was just normal and hard were unlocked from the start.
Yeah, because I don't remember it in the GameCube one, but also like it's been a long time.
Yeah, I do. But I think for F-Zero GX, like, I think that that basic difficulty that it was before will be there. I think there will be some kind of assist or difficulty sliders or something. I think it'd be a hard sell to be like, hey, you know this notoriously hard game? Like, it's even harder, bitch. Just, yeah, I think it would be smart to have some kind of, like, easy, normal, hard difficulty settings for this game.
Yeah, so the difficulties in Metroid Prime were added for the Wii version.
Okay.
Interestingly, though, they called the GameCube original mode Veteran Mode, and they added a normal mode below it, which was easier. And then hyper mode was hard mode, and then for the remastered version they have casual, normal, and hard, which is a much better naming scheme.
Yep.
Yeah, and you unlock hard by finishing the game in the remaster. But yeah, that's cool. that they should definitely do, because that game is punishingly difficult on its normal difficulty.
I think I've made it halfway through it, maybe a little more, like, but yeah, seven, I want to say
seven, like, levels.
Well, there's like 10 story missions.
Oh, like chapter. Yeah. Okay.
I did not see the end, I don't think. But yeah, it's been a very long time. 2004, 2005 is probably the last time I ever touched this game.
Yeah.
Which studio would be in charge of the remaster?
So F-Zero GX is one of the prettiest games on GameCube, in my opinion. So I definitely want somebody who can, with some technical background, to, like, you know, do the Metroid Prime thing of, like, get this already pretty game up to the standards of the Switch. Because I think you could make it look very good. Like, you look at, like, Mario Kart 8, any game where you're, like, very constrained to this rail line small environment, you really have a lot of control over your visuals. I'm gonna say Next Level Games.
Mine is, and I don't know entirely how this would work, let's have Nintendo work with China. Toshihiro Nagoshi, who was at Amusement Vision, the Sega subsidiary, Sega dev studio that made this game, then that became RGG Studio and made a bunch of Yakuza games, and then Nagoshi left the company sometime, I think it was around the pandemic. It was just on his Wikipedia, because I was trying to see if his new studio that is owned by NetEase, which is just called Nagoshi Studio, a real original man. Maybe the first project at that new company was the remastering F-Zero GX.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, like, I don't think that's that realistic, but that's who I would want to do it.
The nice thing is, the more of the original people they get, the fewer of the original developers they have to credit. So, you know, that would work out really well for them. Any other adjustments and features you would like to see added?
X Cup.
Yeah, you could add the game, like the arcade stuff.
Oh yeah, totally. Do all the AX content.
I think it's a pretty, in my opinion, it's always been a pretty beefy game. Like, I always forget that there's, like, a pretty in-depth, like, build your own car
thing. You could put all sorts of penises on it.
Yeah, you, like, yeah.
This game came out when I was 16. What do you think I did?
Yes, first thing. I ranked this game 7 out of 10 penises.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think you need to add that much to it beyond, like, I don't think you need to make new tracks. Just add, they should throw in a couple Mario Kart 8 tracks just out of spite. Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, you can play Moo Moo Farm.
Actually, to go back to that, the Mario Kart team.
What are they doing besides, I guess, making Mario Kart? And they,
yeah.
Well, are they still actively doing stuff on tour, or have they sort of passed that off
at this point? I believe there is a, because I think some of the, they are still involved in tour, but it's the case where I think a lot of the heavy lifting is, like, the asset creation and everything is handled by Bandai Namco.
Yeah.
Do not quote me on any of this. I did do, like, diving into, like, how much of the Mario Kart team is involved in tour. And a lot, but I believe there was kind of the division of, like, the design aspect of it is largely coming from the Nintendo side. But, yeah, like, the basically the execution on the ideas, Bandai Namco has done a lot of that. And I think DNA is involved with that one too, but I forget.
There's probably crossover between whatever Nintendo group is involved with that and the people doing the booster course pass for
Yeah.
Mario Kart 8, I would assume.
It is my understanding that that Mario Kart team is working on something new that will probably, at this point, debut on the new console. I think they should have a Mario Kart game in year one.
At this point, like, given that Mario Kart 8 is a game from 2014, almost 10 years ago, it feels like Mario Kart 9 ought to be a launch title for Switch 2.
And I mean, it's brilliant. Like, look at look at how 8 Deluxe is selling.
Oh, the install base on 8 is disgusting.
Yeah.
It's,
and,
yeah.
And I mean, I think it would still sell very well if 8 Deluxe came out in 2020 versus 2017. But, like, that came out a month and a half after launch.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're Nintendo, you look at that success of that Switch launch, and I think one of the big takeaways is, like, one, yeah, having that kind of, like, that very good launch year plan of, like, a game a month, like, do that again, but also, like, get that, like, evergreen title out there as soon as you can, because that's how you'll maximize, like, ROI, and, I mean, not that that's the end-all be-all, but, like, it's gonna drive a business.
Well, and it's this great 1-2 punch of they launched with a must-play single-player game that everybody buys the console for, and then follow that up with, oh, cool, now that you all have Switches, here's a multiplayer game for you all to play together. Like, it's a great, you could do, if you can do that again, that's a great 1-2 punch.
I'd like to remind people, because usually whenever Mario Kart 8 gets mentioned, somebody makes a 7.5 joke. The Switch version, and I gave an 8.5. And I think with the booster core stuff, like, the game's incredible.
Yeah. I do still think it could, I wish it had some sort of progression system at all that wasn't just based on random coin pulls.
I really hope that's a point of emphasis in the next major Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
But it might not be, because they might just continue to iterate on the multiplayer experience.
I just want Diddy Kong Racing. I really, really just want Diddy Kong Racing. And if Mario Kart could just do that, give me like a hub world with a dumb plot where I get to like drive to the different courses and then do them and then like race a boss like that. Just do that. It's so much better. And you can still have the Grand Prix option, but just let me drive around a fun island. But don't make it Crash Team Racing. It's not the same.
That was such a rude awakening where, like, Crash Team Racing is fine, but I just had such better memories of it from when I played it when I was younger.
It's such a, like, I remember thinking when I was a kid and, like, my friends had that and I had Diddy Kong Racing that I'm like, boy, these games are similar. Like, that's kind of interesting. And then, like, doing research on it as an adult, I was like, oh, Crash Bandicoot was literally, like, CTR was made as a Diddy Kong Racing clone. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere, like, their prototype was literally the island from Diddy Kong Racing. Like, it's just an unapologetic ripoff, but with way worse controls.
And any other adjustments and features you would like to see added? X-Cup is mine. The AX content and X-Cup.
Yep.
I love the X-Cup.
Yeah, I'm pretty much good with it. Like, if you want to throw in more courses from other F-Zero games, great. I do think it would legitimately be funny to have some Mario Kart stuff in there just to pay back Mario Kart 8. Or just put in the Mario Kart 8 versions of Mute City and Big Blue.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be awesome. I wonder if that'll happen. We'll see.
I that would be cool.
It would be.
It would be. I mean, our savior, Silex Hunter.
Yeah.
Who I think just shows up every now and then, and it's just that, like, I was right back in the day, and he really did kill Samus Hunter.
Yeah, like, Samus Hunter's dead. Like, he showed up with a mission.
And that was a prolifically obnoxious lying leaker.
Yes, like, just executed excellently on the objective. Let's see when the last time Samus Hunter, posted. July 13th of last year. We are approaching a year since Samus Hunter posted. Now I'm looking up Silux Hunter. It would help if I spelled Silux correctly.
Yeah, the last thing that they said about F-Zero, whatever happened to the F-Zero thing you teased? And Silux Hunter said, did I ever give a time frame for that? Nope, stay tuned and see for yourself.
Yeah, get quiet. Still only following one person, which is a Samus Aran fan account.
I do love the turn the sights to Marco Morrow, who's another prolific, like, fake leaker.
Yeah.
There's a On January 11th, Happy Advance Wars Doesn't Exist Day. I mean, that aged poorly. That game is coming out in April, I think.
We'll see.
And then there's these old tweets where it's like, intelligence systems will have is working on Advance Wars, but they don't expect it until 2021, but maybe 2020. And there's a mobile version as well. And then all this talk about how, like, presumably, I really expect a few great Nintendo franchises coming to the 3DS in 2018 to 2019 and beyond, like Zelda Wario Land, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Detective Pikachu 2, Punch-Out, Paper Mario, and Advance Wars. Literally none of those happened.
Yeah. I kind of feel like Silex Hunter, like, mission complete, and then just, yep, like, flew off into the sunset, and the internet was left a little bit better. There are a few people who can claim to have fixed a part of the internet. So well done, Silex Hunter. Well, I feel like we've answered that listener mail pretty thoroughly.
With a lot of digressions, but...
We got there. For our, I guess, featured topic game discussion thing. So last week we went through GameCube games listing one first party Nintendo game for each year that we would like to see a remaster of. And we've decided we are going to do that with N64 and Nintendo DS. So first party only. And DS will also include DSiWare as an option. And then maybe we'll throw on Xbox 360 at the end. We'll see how time is going. Yeah. But yeah, do you want to start with N64 or DS?
Let's start with N64.
Okay. So starting with 1996.
Yeah, I think the pick is obvious.
Pilot Wings, I agree.
Star Wars Shadows of the Empire.
Was that a Nintendo-published game?
It was Nintendo-published.
Why?
Because I think it was some kind of deal. Like, it came out, like, early in the system's life. I believe, wasn't LucasArts part of, like, the Dream Team or something?
They were on the box. Like, if you had an N64 at launch, there's a Stormtrooper on it, which is great. It's nice to have a Nintendo collectible and a Star Wars collectible in one convenient form factor.
Yeah, they were involved. I don't think they were part of the Dream Team, but they were involved pretty early on.
Honestly, any of these... So that first year for first-party stuff is Mario 64, Pilot Wings, Wave Race, Killer Instinct Gold, Cruisin' USA, and Shadows of the Empire. I'm not a Killer Instinct guy, but literally any of the rest of those I would be okay with getting remastered.
Yeah. Yeah, Wave Race 64. I feel like, you know, we were talking about Blue Storm on the last episode. When we were talking about GameCube. I'd rather have Blue Storm over Wave Race 64. Probably just comes a little bit of I played a lot more Blue Storm.
Wave Race would be a great one to have, like, a trilogy collection.
Get the Game Boy in there too.
Give me the Game Boy game that, like, I don't want to buy in any other form. That's totally going to end up on NSO at some point, isn't it?
I hope so.
Give me that, and then Wave Race 64 and Blue Storm in a nice little trilogy. You don't really have to remaster them, just run them at a nice resolution.
Yeah.
Wave Race 64 is already on NSO. Wave Race 64 just has such a good soundtrack. I like the soundtrack better than the game. Yeah. I just play the game to listen to the music. Pilot Wing
64, also great soundtrack.
I do really like Pilot Wing 64.
I haven't played it in a while. But playing it on NSO has been a very good time.
Yeah, when it hit NSO, I binged it for a long time. I think I played like halfway through the game just in a sitting. But yes, Shadows of the Empire is hard to that game could benefit a lot from a remaster remake too. Like it's an extremely ambitious game that suffers from just the time it came out. But holy crap, it tries to accomplish so much and like succeeds way more often than it has any right to.
Yeah. I have a real soft spot for that game. Unfortunately, we're probably going to get the Asper version that's going to be so a monkey's paw.
The nice thing is, if Aspyr does it, then they'll use the PC version, which has like pre-rendered cutscenes that are terrible but awesome, and like slightly better graphics. And I played that a few years ago, and like has decent modern controller support. So like, that might actually be okay. Like the PC version of that is pretty good. Way better than the PC version of Rogue Squadron, which is terrible. And that's probably also the version of Rogue Squadron we'll one day get on Switch.
1997.
You know what? Okay, so the obvious one for me is Star Fox, but Star Fox is a really good remaster on 3DS already.
Yeah, yeah, and that's also what I was looking with Super Mario 64. Not that I think the Super Mario 64 DS is a great remaster, but it's also like, I feel like that remastering that game, you might as well just make a new Mario game.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of feel like that itch has been scratched. I don't really want to play Mario Kart 64.
No.
Blast Core.
Unrealistic, I mean, because it's... I think it ain't
going to happen. Yeah. It's on Rare Replay. You can play it on there.
Yeah. Guess what? It's still very good on Rare Replay.
GoldenEye also already has a remake, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. I do like how we're just finding out that a lot of these games have already been remade.
Yes. Yeah, we're running, I guess, Tetrisphere, process of elimination.
Yeah,
it has to be Tetrisphere or Mario Kart 64. those are your options. Wait, are we doing American release dates? Or first release dates?
Budget for this one, so that way Yoshi's Story should be our pick for 97.
If Yoshi's Story counts, then it's Yoshi's Story.
Yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, that
just make those visual, like how they did Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe. I know, yep. It would take a lot more work. Just like add an epilogue, a really
yeah.
You play as Baby Bowser or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'd love a Yoshi's that, and that game. Yeah, could look. Yeah, you could probably do like the 2D graphics, but in real time now. Yeah. And it would look really nice. That game's got such a vibe. Once again, I incredible love
the
soundtrack.
Music, oh my god!
Oh yeah, it's so good.
What a video game! All right,
yeah. So let's say Yoshi's Story counts, so that we can say Yoshi's Story. Boy, it barely snuck out in 1997. That was December 21st in Japan, but it counts.
All right.
So 1998.
Although it's tough because that Major League Baseball featuring Ken Griffey Jr. is an awesome game. My heart says that. I don't know what parts of my body say what, but I want my Ocarina of Time remaster or my Ocarina of Time remake akin to Final Fantasy VII remake. That is might have surpassed F-Zero Yakuza as my most desired dumbest idea for a video game.
Yeah, well, that's another one where we do technically already have a remaster of it, but it's also Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, give me Ocarina of Time, the Final Fantasy VII remake version, where it's a sequel and there's time travel shit.
As long as you change it up, I think that's fine. I would love a Banjo-Kazooie remake, but once again, that ain't happening on Nintendo. Of course, we have left out whatever that word country golf true golf classics is.
Wily the country club true golf. Oh, that's by T&E Soft. They did a bunch of Virtual Boy games. They probably had a contract where they're really? Like, we got one more game, and they're like, fine.
Prolific.
Yeah. 1080 Snowboarding, worth mentioning, especially after Giles Goddard. So, you know what? This is my excuse to talk about Carve Jr.
I was going to ask if you'd played it yet. I just saw that this morning.
I mean, it seems like in a similar vein to, oh God, what was their first Playdate game called? The surfing one.
Shred. I don't remember. Wipeout.
Anyway, it's something. Oh God, it's just gonna bother me.
You want me to look it up?
But yeah, Carve Jr. is pretty simple, but it does have very good vibes. Carve the VR game, way better than Carve Jr.
I will say, what I saw of Carve Jr., just something about the visual style of it reminded me of like the Game Boy Advance Tony Hawk games.
Yep. Yeah, it is exactly like it is simple and janky. You know, the Playdate is a hell of a thing. It is very gimmicky. I don't know if I can recommend it to most people, but it's a hell of a thing.
It went up in price the other day.
Yeah, yeah. Or, act now. I think if you can lock in the old price if you do it before April
7th. Yeah, it's going up to like 200 from what was it, 175? Something like that.
I think it was 180.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not a huge price increase, but
yeah,
a price increase nonetheless. I'm surprised still around, to be honest.
Yeah, 20. I mean, it's you get 26 games for free, and some of them are extremely cool. There's like a turn-based strategy game that's with Sasquatch in it. Like, there's a pretty good 2D Zelda-like. A lot of weird visual novel stuff. Pick, Pack, Pup, which is just a really good puzzle game. But Ocarina of Time, Final Fantasy VII Remake, that's my pick.
Okay.
Maybe I'm bending the rules of remake versus remaster.
Well, but... listen, I mean, I think the thing that we've learned about remakes, remasters, and reimaginings throughout the year is that there, in fact, is no firm definition, and it can be whatever your heart desires.
All right. 1999.
They published Command & Conquer 64?
Yes, they did.
Why? That already got a really nice remaster, though, so we don't need... Not 64, but Command & Conquer got a really nice remaster already.
What is my pick here? It's another one that is borderline impossible, but I think it might be my pick, the Donkey Kong 64.
That one's more possible. At least they own the character still. Like, they probably have the rights to that game.
Yeah, I think the thing with Donkey Kong 64, make it so you can switch different Kongs on the fly, and like that game is way better.
That one is, it's kind of like Shadows of the Empire, where it would benefit tremendously from having it be touched up.
There is low-hanging fruit in that game, literally. No, there is a low-hanging fruit that you could change to that game, and it, like, just instantly goes from a game that would, like, you know, Metacritic 6 or whatever. Although, who are we kidding? When this game came out, it got probably 9s and 10s. But like, would just fix so many issues with the original game. Like, as simple as you just change Kongs on the fly, or the bananas aren't different for every Kong.
Do you want to guess what Donkey Kong 64's Metascore is?
What, like 85?
It is a 9. A 90. That is... Oh, man. What games journalism era. Is corrupt and broken. Yep.
Yeah, like, I have a soft spot for DK64. Also, if anybody wants to dunk on that game, like, you're not wrong.
Oh, it's terrible. Like, I played it as a kid at the time, and just thought it was awful. It's a terrible, terrible game. And I keep trying it again every time I regain access to it, and it's always like somehow worse than I remember it being, and I make it a little less far. It's so awful.
All right, the year 2000.
We should rank the worst Nintendo published games, because that's on there. StarCraft 64, how I love you.
Yes. Work with Microsoft, get it done. I mean, work with Activision, get it done.
Well, it depends on when you want to remaster it. You might be working with Microsoft. Well, Majora's Mask, the remake of Majora's Mask on 3DS, I will say, is they did a lot more to change that game than they did Ocarina. And largely, I think the changes were for good. So I will say that I'm good with that as the remaster. So we don't need to do that. Hey, you,
this
Pikachu.
This is tough, because there's one, I think they've just iterated on a lot of these games, like Excitebike 64, but I that game's good. I don't think it's that good.
Now might be the time to do Kirby 64.
Yeah, why not? Pretty solid.
Banjo-Tooie, also another game that would really benefit from some quality of life changes, like a map.
There's a chance I could just pick a rare game released every year on N64.
And it's like probably flawed enough to benefit greatly from. Yeah, unless you're the original Banjo-Kazooie, there's probably enough problems in your rare game to. Banjo-Kazooie really was. Banjo-Kazooie is like the new Star Wars Episode 4 of rare games, where it just kind of was a fluke that it's as good as it is.
Looking at the list, there's a couple games that aren't on it, because I was confused, because just glanced ahead. And Jet Force Gemini and Perfect Dark and Conker's Bad Fur Day weren't there. So in 97, Diddy Kong Racing.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Wait,
so,
what did
so
we
could do that. I mean, that also got a remake, although the DS one was...
The DS one does make some good changes, but it's not universally an improvement.
Yeah.
What did we give 97 to before? Was that when we gave Yoshi Story? Yeah, let's give it to Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah. 98, would we give it to Rogue Squadron?
What did we give to 98 before?
Well, would it be Yoshi's Story?
Oh, right. Oh, 98 was what you gave Ocarina of Time. So I'm going to let you decide, because that was your... You campaigned for Ocarina of Time.
You know what? If we're looking at it for a remaster thing, give me Rogue Squadron and also sneak in some Rogue Leader and Rebel Strike.
Yeah, but it is a trilogy.
99 was Jet Force Gemini, which honestly...
I mean, talk about Rare games that could benefit... Though, that's on Rare Replay, and they made all the changes I would have wanted them to make in that version.
Yeah,
it has dual analog controls, plays like a dream. Great game.
A Metroid Prime level HD remaster with you know, the tweaks in it. Would you rather have Jet Force Gemini or DK64?
Jet Force Gemini. Because I think the core game of Jet Force Gemini, like, Jet Force Gemini at its core, I think is a good game. Whereas, like, Donkey Kong, even if you fix the obvious problems, I still don't think there's, like, a very good game underneath all of it. Like, I think it's Rare's weakest 3D platformer.
Yep.
Whereas Jet Force Gemini is legit just a great good. Game that pretty much just suffered from the fact that it was on an N64 controller. And if you haven't played the Xbox version, it's really, really good because you can play with modern controls.
In 2000, also Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark and Sin and Punishment.
Because Sin and Punishment, I mean, Sin and Punishment's such a good video game.
Sin and Punishment's incredible. And boy, could it use a graphical update. Because it might also be one of the ugliest N64 games. Yeah, for 2000, I would probably lean toward Sin and Punishment.
I think I do. Sin and Punishment or Perfect Dark. Although, once again, could just pick a Rare game for every year.
Well, and once again, Perfect Dark has a remaster.
Yeah. Just re-release that.
Yeah. Yeah, half the games on this list can be eliminated if you purchase Rare Replay for your Xbox One or Xbox Series X. Turns out that was a very good release that quietly remastered the games that weren't even listed as remasters.
2001. Mine is easy. Paper Mario 64.
That is a game that, weirdly, like, even just emulating it in HD or like playing it on the NSO app, visually holds up really well. Like, there's some, and like, not just in like that it's a lot of 2D art, but like, they do some really cool tricks with like lighting that 2D art that like has just aged. It's a very good looking game still, which you can't say about a lot of N64 games. Yeah, I don't think that there's anything else in 2001 that I'd be like more attached to, but there's not a lot in 2001 for me. So sure, you can have Paper Mario. I'm not going to campaign for Dr. Mario 64. So.
All right. DS,
switching lists.
2004, there's not a lot.
No, there's not.
Feel like this. You know what? PictoChat.
Okay. you don't want Super Mario 64 DS HD just for the chaos.
Actually, you know what? Yes. Okay. Yes, I do. But they have to add in like the shitty touchscreen mini games. Have that work on whatever their new console is.
What do you mean shitty? Those were. I liked that when they did. What was it? New Super Mario Bros. They just shamelessly put the same games on there, like no changes, just the exact same thing. No, at the time that came out, like when you probably didn't have like a smartphone with games on it, like those were because they were just like little cell phone games.
I played a lot of them in school.
Oh, I played them constantly. Yeah, no, I honestly a version of Super Mario 64 that, you know, takes the Super Mario 64 DS content and adds it into the base game. I'd love that. Yeah, that's 2004. There isn't a lot there.
Yeah.
Was WarioWare Touched one of the good ones? That was in 2004.
It's okay.
Okay, I can't remember.
I mean, I think Twisted and the Game Boy one are the top. Yeah. And even the Wii one's very good too. Touched is fine.
Yeah.
What else came out in 2005?
Well, we've got Advance Wars taken care of.
Metroid Prime.
I guess
Pinball.
That's Dual Strike. Ooh.
Now that we've remastered the original Metroid Prime.
Remastered to the level of Metroid Prime Remastered. Like with that degree of graphical fidelity. Sure. I was going to say Super Princess Peach just to watch the world get upset when they realize like how probably not okay Super Princess Peach was.
It is. I could tell you this. It is. Horrific. as far as like that. She gets emotions. That's what powers her platforming power. Like, it is.
In case you didn't know, Princess Peach is a girl.
Yeah.
And girls cry. That is what that game is about.
I mean, I think the shittiest thing about Super Princess Peach is that it's actually fun.
Like, sure,
it's an enjoyable platformer. It's just that, like, the dressing for it is miserably bad.
Maybe they could find a way to, like, modernize just, like, the presentation of Princess Peach and, like, keep the level structure or something.
Yeah.
But it's Nintendo, so they won't. I am tempted to say Mario Kart DS just because it's the best Mario Kart game.
Yeah, it might be our only way to get single player in a console Mario Kart game again.
Yeah, true. Animal Crossing, boy, there's a lot in 2005, honestly. Yeah. Animal Crossing Wild World is also fantastic.
Another code.
Nintendogs.
I know, like, Nintendogs plus cats, like, didn't quite capture the zeitgeist. I'm a little shocked they haven't gone back to Nintendogs.
Yeah, they gave it that one shot on 3DS and just never tried it again.
It was a phenomenon.
Yeah, I remember going to Taekwondo classes and having every kid there have their DS with Nintendogs on it. I think Nintendogs plus cats was the first game I bought for my wife when she got her 3DS.
Aww.
I don't know if she played it, but I did buy it. So what did we decide on for 2005?
I'm sticking with Metroid Prime Pinball.
Oh, yeah. I like that. That is the of the many chaotic options. That's the best one.
So 2006, Metroid Prime Hunters.
Yeah, that was. So I was actually thinking about that the other day because I've had that, like, after finishing Metroid Prime, I'm like, man, I really want to play more Metroid Prime. But I feel like if I play Echoes and Corruption, like, they're just going to remaster those too. So I've been debating doing another playthrough of Hunters. But that did get me thinking that, like, boy, it would be amazing if they did that level of remaster for Hunters. I do kind of hope that Metroid Prime 4, like, while I want it to be a regular Metroid Prime game, I would love if it had, like, a single player or a multiplayer online component of just being, you know, Halo, because that's essentially what Hunters was. And for the time, having that on a handheld was awesome. I played the crap out of that. And I don't think the single player gets enough credit in that game.
Elite Beat Agents is really good. But I think you could probably make that work on a home console.
Star Fox Command. Give it the analog stick controls it's always deserved.
Yeah, a lot of these they've kind of already done. Big Brain Academy, Clubhouse Games. All right, 2007.
Diddy Kong Racing DS. Tingle's Balloon
Custom
Fight.
Robo.
Ooh, okay, Phantom Hourglass is on here.
Ooh.
I would like to see the DS Zelda games remastered and mapped to normal controls, because those are some of the few like Nintendo DS games of that era where I feel like they had touch controls for no reason. Like, yes, you could draw on the map. Woohoo. I don't care.
There's some really clever things there, but, like,
they should let me move Link with the
with
the D-pad. Like, if you want me to draw out a thing for the boomerang, fine. But, like, just basic movement. I will say, though, you pop those games into an emulator on your cell phone and stack them vertically as DS games. They play really well with touchscreen-only controls. They make great cell phone games. So yeah, that'd probably be my pick. Would be Phantom Hourglass.
2008.
DSi Browser.
Personal Trainer Cooking. I'd like have that or had that game and, like, made a decent amount of meals with it.
Good we don't have enough of the. The DS had such a focus on improving your life.
Yeah.
There were so many educational games on it.
Your My Stop Smoking Coach.
Yeah. Was that a real one?
Yes.
Good. They should port that.
Personal Trainer Math, which is made by the Picross people.
Oh, is it a Picross game?
No. Maybe it has some Picross stuff in it.
Seems like it could.
Yeah, 2008.
I've got nothing from 2008. Yeah.
Let's go with Personal Trainer Cooking.
And we could go with, isn't Soma Bringer a monolith game? We could if we're just remastering bad monolith games.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's bring Soma Bringer. That never came to America. I think that's one of those ones that, like, might have had an English localization. I forget.
Yeah, I have no idea. I know nothing about it.
Technically Personal Trainer Math is a 2009 game, at least.
Oh, okay. America. Well, that can be our 2009 pick then.
Yeah.
I will not pick Spirit Tracks, just out of respect for Artie picking Phantom Hourglass, though it should be Spirit Tracks.
This is also the first DSI year.
Okay.
So, clicking down
to DSI. Do you have a list that has both? I only have a list that has... No, okay, no, cool. I just
click down. I'm going to cheat and say for 2009, an art style DSI work collection.
There you go. That'd work.
Just, yeah, that's my desired remaster, is take all of the art style games across Wii and DS and put them in a cartridge on Switch.
Yeah, I would love, any DSiWare stuff on Switch should happen. All of those games should make it there.
For 2010, it should be...
That's the year X-Scape came out.
A Q Games trilogy.
Yeah.
X-Scape, Trajectile, and Starship Patrol.
Or no, was Trajectile an art style game?
Neither of those are art
style games. Okay. Perfect.
I haven't even looked at the retail DS games.
Hang on, I'm going there. They could make gold. They could. Okay, they should. What they should do is demaster Golden Sun: Dark Dawn. Like they should make it. They should switch it into like Super Nintendo style sprites, and it would make the game better.
2010. I'd also Dragon Quest IX. I forgot that. Much like the N64 list, there's another list underneath of games licensed to Nintendo North America. The Leighton games, I don't think the Leighton games, I think those remasters kind of exist. Like they're ported to phones and they look really nice.
Yeah. There are so many DSiWare games.
Yes.
And they're all disappearing.
Yep.
Yeah, 2011, I have no idea what came
Picross
out
in 3D, I can't there go you without go. Mentioning that. Well, no, that's 2010.
Oh, no. You have to choose. You can only have one excellent DSiWare game.
Well, Picross 3D is retail. So now, you know what? Okay. Save the DSiWare games.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have the Q Games trilogy remastered for a new era. 2011... If I have to pick a retail game.
Yep.
Mass Attack. Kirby Mass
That's
Attack.
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
And for 2012, if I had to pick a retail game, Pokemon Conquest. That game's silly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure we will get Pokemon Black 2 and White 2 at some point here.
And were there any Four Swords Adventure? That, or Four Swords Anniversary Edition? Well, this was a fun exercise. Xbox
DSiWare keeps going for a while.
Yes.
How far does this go? 2016.
Photo Dojo. As the ultimate Photo Dojo champion, there's a part of me that's happy that no one can threaten me for my title once that cave disappears.
I'll bet it works in emulation now.
Shit.
The last DSiWare release, at least according to this list, was in 2016. That's stupid. But good job, Crazy Train. Okay, Xbox. So for Xbox 360, is it first party Microsoft or is it any Xbox 360?
I don't know. Are we actually doing this?
I have no idea. We have been going for an hour.
Yeah, no, I think we could probably kill it. Okay. If you could think of off the top of your head games that are maybe not exclusive to Xbox 360, but like were prominently on Xbox 360.
Oh, I have one ready.
Okay. What is
it? It's Project Silphied.
Yeah, yeah.
The Square Enix's game that refuses to be on backwards compatibility. That game's awesome. It's just a very anime 360 degree flight combat game. And it's very over the top and ridiculous and has horrible anime cutscenes with like way too much jiggle physics. And it's just the best. And I wish it was playable on modern platforms, but Square Enix refuses to acknowledge its existence because I think it did very, very poorly and was maybe somewhat expensive.
X-Men Origins Wolverine is my favorite God of War game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Dante's Inferno for me. As long as your favorite God of War game is not a God of War game, then that's fair. My favorite God of War game is Rygar for PS2.
But yeah, no, X-Men Origins Wolverine is incredible. I'm trying to think if there's any other Xbox. Oh, you know what? Good old Geometry Wars should come back.
Oh, sure.
What a cool game.
Yeah. I forgot that that was a very popular game there for a hot second.
Yeah. And then there was a very good Wii version, I remember.
Yep. I think I had a poster of that from like a Nintendo Power or something in my room as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like there's other ones that I'm thinking of, like kind of defined 364 me, like Rock Band, although Rock Band is still lumbering around, like occasionally gets new DLC. But that's also like it's very hard to recapture what Rock Band meant to me at the time that it came out. Like what it's that's going to be one of those things where it's like, remember when like we spent hundreds of dollars on plastic instruments? Yeah. And then everybody just put them in landfills. Like
very. Yeah, it was a thing that we did. It was a different time.
Yeah. Now it's like you don't do that on your phone. Like smartphones weren't a thing when those launched.
Yes. I had an LG chocolate, and that was considered a pretty high-end phone. What's a flip phone? Yeah.
Did you have a Razer? It was so cool. Like,
yeah, I was envious of the people who had the Razer.
Yeah. That was I think cool I got phone. One like right as smartphones hit and was like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
What am I doing with my life?
But it was so thin for the time and is probably very chunky if I were to look at one today. It's like the original DS. I remember thinking that thing looked pretty sleek when it launched. That is a chunky boy now. I think that was an episode. Thank you for listening. You could send us some listener mail with some topics for us to discuss, or we'll just keep using the same three over and over again indefinitely with slight additions to the topic. If you're listening to this somewhere where you can review it, you could do that. That'd be awesome. You can follow us on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR. You can also send questions there if you'd like to. I'm pretty sure those DMs are open, or you can just at us and yell into the ether. We probably have a Skyward Sword Game Club coming up at, what, like the end of this month, I think?
Yeah.
So if you haven't started Skyward Sword yet, consider doing that. Or if you just played it last year when it was remastered, maybe just like boot it up and refresh yourself and then go back to playing Metroid Prime.
Note to self.
I think I'm going to start up Breath of the Wild soon. That's what I've decided I should be using this time for.
Yeah. After I roll credits on Xenoblade 3, Breath of the Wild is going to be the game that goes into my cartridge slot on my Switch.
I'm debating playing it on Wii U just because I've never played through that version and I own it. And it was like the system it was designed for. So, yeah. Not that it has any features that take advantage of the Wii U, but still. Thank you for listening. Neil, thank you for joining me as always. And we will see you next time. Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.